He sleeps on a mattress on the floor inside his now ascetic house. Everything sold and spent, save for the walls. He's hocked his car, so lately he's been forced to stick to the smaller stuff. The Idealisk cheese grater and light bulbs. Some lamps. His scar is constantly itchy from when they harvested his kidney, rendering him a hefty bag of cash.
When you're confronted with historical forces that seem vastly bigger than you, like a war on your people that has lasted nearly 100 years, you have two choices. You can accept it as your fate and try to adjust to being a pinball being whacked around a table by the powerful, or you can band together with other people to become a historical force yourself. Bud chose the second way.
He opened it softly with a key, strode lightly up the stairs, and entering his own room, double-locked the door, and lifting a heavy table against it, drew back the curtain of the bed. The girl was lying, half-dressed, upon it. He had roused her from her sleep, for she raised herself with a hurried and startled look. "Get up!" said the man.
On this sunny summer afternoon, little Billy was kneeling on a chair in the living room, gazing out through the window at the wonderful world beyond. Every now and again, his mother would call out to him, saying, "Little Billy, what are you up to in there?" And little Billy would always call back and say, "I'm being good, Mummy."
But little Billy was awfully tired of being good.
"I wonder, by my troth, what thou and I did till we loved. Were we not weaned till then? But supped on country pleasures childishly? Or snorted we in the seven sleepers' den? 'Twas so, but this all pleasures' fancies be. If ever any beauty I did see which I desired and got, 'twas but a dream of thee.